It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is. Hey, listen, if you're out there driving in the morning, be careful. I'm back on my bike again. I had to take a little bit of a break, hurt my back, and bending over backwards to help my clients, of course. Sorry, that was terrible. Anyway, so if you're out driving in the morning, you see somebody on an orange bike and a bright yellow shirt, probably. Give me that 3 feet that the law requires. Thank you very much. All right. Speaking of what the law requires, we need to get to
the fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
It should be a law.
It should be?
It should be. Everybody should have to get their daily dose of Scott Connor. We missed ours yesterday.
That sounds like job security to me.
Yeah, we really did. I said, okay, fastest 5 minutes. Well, not so much. Maybe a minute, and then I got some other stuff. So the listeners are yearning. They are dying for all of that pent-up stock market number-crunching analysis that you can offer.
Well, yesterday, Monday, very little happened in the market, but on Tuesday, also very little.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Scott. Yeah. We really missed you.
The S&P was almost exactly flat, closed at 1312 on Tuesday's market. The Dow was down 20 points. NASDAQ up almost 2 points. Gold up $8. Oil pretty much flat. I did notice, though, that my gas prices are going up. Although oil has been relatively flat in this high 90s range for a little bit, oil, gas prices are definitely up.
So help me out. I thought OPEC, well, not OPEC, but Saudi Arabia said, you guys, you're good. You can do something with Iran. Don't worry about it. We got your back. We'll pump out a couple million barrels extra a day.
Yeah, well, I think the saber rattling really added probably 10 or 15 cents a gallon to the gas. You know, they did that with Libya, too.
It sounds opportunistic to me.
It absolutely sounds opportunistic. They did that with Libya, too. Libya provides almost nothing from a percentage standpoint.
What, like 400,000 barrels a day or something like that?
And oil went crazy as soon as
I think North Dakota, or which one is it? North or South Dakota, one of them. I can't remember which Dakota it is that does all the...
They're getting the Bakken is?
They're just nailing the oil.
It's all through that area.
Okay, the fracking.
Yeah, the fracking.
Okay, well, the fracking going on in Dakota, I think they probably produce more than Libya does.
Yeah, they might. So not a lot happened on the market on Tuesday, although Amazon did release their numbers. Everybody was really expecting a blockbuster quarter from Amazon, mostly because of what Apple did, but their revenue number missed badly. $17.4 billion in revenue versus 18 and a quarter expectations.
Okay, but don't tell me. Let me guess. But the profit still came in okay.
As far as I know, because they were still hammering out what was the gap EPS and what wasn't, so they're still figuring it out as of right this minute. But the stock was down about 10% on the announcement.
Earnings per share and all that good stuff. You know, I had to take an accounting class in college. You know, CPA, and there was a class I had to take, and it was intermediate accounting or something. Anyway, we had to calculate fully diluted earnings per share. Now, you think you got it bad, ladies and gentlemen. That was a lot of fun. I had to build a little chart and figure it out.
Yeah, we had to do that in CFA, too.
Uphill both ways.
Yeah, and in CFA, if you have a foreign company, you have to translate from the foreign currency into the home currency, but you have to use a bunch of different currency periods of time depending on what the line item is.
Isn't that exciting, folks?
Yeah.
All right.
So
we're moving right
too.
Along.
On the economic front, a fair amount of news today. Home prices, case S&P Case-Shiller 20-City Composite Index came out on Tuesday. They go out to 20 cities and they find housing prices fell 1.3%. So housing right. prices are still on the move down.
But we're talking about 1%.
We're talking about 1%. Economists had expected a decline of 0.5%. Of the 20 cities that they survey, only one of them was up, and Atlanta is still really having some significant
problems.
All right,
so what do you think caused that? Do you think in the report, was it just additional properties coming on the market?
I think that's probably it. It is seasonally adjusted. This is a normally slow time, but it's seasonally adjusted.
Could it be that the banks are starting to drop some more properties on the market?
It could be, and it doesn't help that banks are not lending still.
I saw a report out on that. Did you see that?
Yes.
Okay. You want to talk about that?
Sure. I mean,
is that your segue?
I mean, credit is tightening. Credit
well,
is very,
and that's
very
what,
tight.
I've got it in quite a stack of stuff here. Banks in the U.S. kept, Wall Street Journal, of course, banks in the U.S. kept credit fairly tight during the final months of 2011, even though the demand for loans have been increasing, and which is, and a lot of the fingers or the indicators are it's because of the European debt concerns.
Yeah, banks are just nervous.
Now, I have to say, it's not just homeowners, though, that hurts or that might trip up the homeowners and being able to get loans. Or it's really a lot about bank lending to small businesses because a lot of big companies have a lot of places they can get money.
Yeah, they can float bonds. They can sell
treasury
stock.
They can put the bonds out there. They can do treasury.
They usually have cash.
A lot of cash on hand. But the small businesses... bank financing is their number one, two, and source of funding.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's definitely not helping because it's this, you know, we always talk about jobs. I know you want to talk about jobs today, but...
Well, that's the point is, you know, small businesses are the number one creators of jobs.
That's right.
The government doesn't create jobs, by the way. We know that, right?
Well, especially now, government...
They're shedding jobs,
shedding jobs, yeah.
They're supposed to create an environment. Little note here, a little message to Washington. Supposed to create the opportunity and the proper environment for jobs, but your job is not to create jobs.
Right. Consumer confidence, a really somewhat unpleasant number, dropped to 61.1 on Tuesday's announcement from a 64.8 previous month. Economists had expected 68.0.
What's going on with that?
A lot of it is gas. A lot of it is gas. Consumers see gas prices go up, and they hit the panic button.
You know, this is probably going to seem like an extreme oversimplification and probably a little bit, I don't know, maybe it's not the right way to put it, but it's almost like there's a gas station close to my house, and I think we should come up with our own index, Scott. You know, you got the Shilling index for real?
Case-Shiller, yeah.
Okay, and you got all these indices. I think we should come up with the gas versus wings index.
Oh.
Okay, there's a Hess station on the corner, and it's always busy, and then right next to it's this restaurant called Hooligans, and they have these really good wings you can get, and they have beer wings. It's a sports bar, and I know the guy that owns it. And I think the consumer confidence is how much do I have to spend at the gas pump versus being able to spend it on beer and wings. And the more they can spend on beer and wings, the happier the consumer is.
Yeah, well, they're not happy now. This reading of 61.1 for Tuesday's number versus a healthy economy consumer confidence number is around 90.
Okay, well, we're going to break down. We're getting the 5-second warning from Lisa. Stick around, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to come back and get more of what we missed with Scott Connor after this break.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
Well, on the downbeat, Let's talk about Portugal.
I'm tired of talking about Greece. Let's talk
about
Portugal.
All right, we're moving on.
Portugal is the next Greece. Basically, everything that we have said about Greece in the last year, we will say about Portugal, I think, in the year upcoming. Five-year yields are over 20%. Two-year yields closed on Tuesday north of 18%. Debt is forecast to reach about 116% of GDP. Economy is forecast to contract at 3%, and they have major, major funding needs in 2013 coming up.
How do we get to this point? Why does this keep happening?
Well, because nobody really did anything until it started to get to be too late. But I did read an interesting story today that S&P is getting ready to downgrade credit ratings on G20 countries again. And they say that really one of the main reasons is because healthcare costs in our country, we know that as Medicare, are becoming really a significant part of the budget. Almost 12% on average for G20 countries. Now, that's looking forward. Right now, it's about 6, but it's going to increase because of the aging population. So,
well, if you think about it, defense, healthcare, interest on debt.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Thanks for that.
That's most of it.
Yeah, thank you.
So, big trouble in Portugal. That's next. You know, Spain and Italy seem to have stabilized quite a bit, at least from the perspective of yield. But Portugal is going to be a short-term problem.
Well, I do have... It's good news, bad news. The good news is Portugal is not as big as Greece. They're $250 billion economy, whereas Greece is a little over $318 billion, still a big number, but not the size. And of course, for perspective, our country, we're in that $15 trillion economy.
It does seem that there is more cultural acceptance in Portugal for austerity and changes in habits and things like that than there is in Greece. You know, in Greece, they're basically saying, well, you can charge me all the tax you want. I'm just not going to pay it. How do you like that? And in Portugal, that doesn't seem to be the same type of culture.
Well, along the same lines, I saw a report out somewhere on Hungary having continued troubles.
Yeah, Hungary is very little talked about, but they are having a heck of a time with their debt there as well. So you take all these little countries, and eventually they add up to some pretty big numbers.
Well, Hungary is $187 billion. Now, speaking of that, that's an outstanding segue, Scott. Thank you for that. You're talking about all these little countries essentially adding up to big countries. Well, guess who's starting to get on the radar screen now?
Who?
Japan.
Oh.
Yeah, that was good. Very good, Scott, pretending to be surprised. I'm holding up the article so Scott can see it. Here's where I'm going next, Scott. But yeah, concerns are on the rise about Japan's debt. And here's what really struck me. You know, and I know you're very familiar with this, and I want to talk about it just for a second. There is the ability to insure debt.
Yeah.
And so the real key indicator about the concerns that people have about a potential default can be reflected in the charge to insure it.
Yeah, credit default swap. I try to watch those pretty closely because they are good indicators. They move fast.
To get like an iPhone app that tells you when they're swapping around?
I could probably find one.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Japan's, to insure $10 million of Japan's debt was back in July of 2011, it was $90,000 to insure $10 million of debt. More recently, it's $155,000. So you're getting like 75% increase.
Yeah, that's a big jump. Now, they can see it coming, and they are trying to get it in front of it. They're trying to push a big sales tax through, which has got
a lot of resistance. Yeah.
Yeah, lots and lots of resistance.
Well, here's a number that you don't see every day. Japan's debt is 1 quadrillion yen. So the next order of magnitude after trillions is quadrillions, yeah. And I just like to say that, quadrillion.
Well, hopefully you won't never have to say that about U.S. debt, but
I hope not.
It's not
thankfully
impossible.
If we do it now, let me make it a little better, but this is really amazing. If we translate the yen to dollars, it's $14 trillion. Now here's
that's
what's
a lot of debt.
Well, what's staggering is we've got about the same amount of debt, a little more. We've got closer to $15 trillion, but we've got twice the economy.
Yeah, that's scary. You know, their budget for this year, 93 trillion yen, that's $1.2 trillion. Of that, tax revenues covers less than half. The rest of it they have to borrow, so they have problems.
That's serious. So they have to borrow.
Yeah, that's a lot of borrowing.
Half of the money they use to pay their debt.
Right. So it's not going to be long before their interest rates start to spike because the credit default swaps are already telling us that they're going to.
Well, here's a funny thing, or it's not funny. It's
and if
just
you're borrowing that much, it's not sustainable. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's good. Well, you might want to put on your list of things to look at are swaptions. A swaption is a type of option that would give you the ability to profit if the yield on the Japanese debt goes up. So some investors are starting to look at swaptions.
Yeah, we had to do those in CFA too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a laugh.
I don't think we have to do any of those for our clients. That's a little bit. You want to talk about taking some risk?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because if it goes the other way, you're in trouble.
Yeah, those futures markets, if they move against you, it can be catastrophic.
Well, look what happened to what were the name of the boys? The Duke brothers in Trading Places. You ever see that movie? If you haven't ever seen that movie, you got to watch it. Eddie Murphy.
And your friend John Corzine.
What's going on? Well, where's that billion too?
He got in trouble with all the trading and manipulating and borrowing and leveraging and all that kind of stuff. They have not found that money.
It's just a little over a billion, right?
A little over a billion, but if it's your billion, it's a lot.
Well, it's probably in some, briefcase or something somewhere. You know, they just haven't checked their file cabinet.
Yeah, 3 days before they got downgraded by Moody's, they sent an email to Moody's that said, "We have never been in better shape than we are right now.
Nice.
We have never had more capital. We have never been more liquid. We have never been better off than we are right now.
And they say politics has spin.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, it's not a laughing matter, and we are poking really fun at the instigators of this nonsense that have hurt real people with probably real money when it all shakes out.
I mean, farmers that are hedging their crops.
Farmers trying to hedge their crops by doing options and whatnot that they can, if corn goes up, corn goes down. You know, there's all these things that protect them from big swings in the market, and they entrust their money to a company like MF Global, and, well, it's not working out. Hey, don't start your next thought. You're deep in thought, but I know there it comes. There comes a 5-second flag. We'll be right back and we'll talk more. Hey, we're going to talk about the federal budget deficit. That's riveting. So come right back to that.
What if the process of creating your financial plan was easy, hassle-free, and straightforward? What if it was conducted by a friendly professional and there was nothing expected of you in return? It almost sounds too good to be true, right? It's the way David Holland has been doing business at his firm, Holland Financial, for over 15 years. Since day one, it has been David's mission to provide individuals with practical solutions for their retirement needs. Financial planning doesn't have to be complicated or stressful. To learn more about our services, visit us at hollandfinancial.com or call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your complimentary consultation. That number again is 888-747-7526. There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Just to that story. Yeah, we're back. Just to that story. We were talking, Scott and I were talking on the break about the gist of the story. And the story is that we look like the U.S. government, those folks that we have elected, that we have hired to run our government, we're going to have another trillion with a T, dollar deficit. And so we were talking on the break, Scott, about the story. The heart of the story is that there's an expectation that we're going to have annual deficits over the next several years, absent something changing.
Something drastic changing.
Something's got to give, that we're going to have trillion-dollar deficits.
Yeah, a trillion-dollar deficit for this year, according to the Congressional Budget Office. We have all these tax increases and spending cuts that are supposed to go into effect. If they go into effect, the deficit grows by about $3.1 trillion over the next 10 years. If they don't go into effect, the deficit grows roughly $11 trillion over the next 10 years.
Yeah, that's real good. We're already sitting on I was doing the math ahead of myself. We're sitting on $15
trillion. Yeah.
Add another 10, you're at $25 trillion. Real nice. Real nice. Well, and I read some of the same articles you did, and of course, it's all about, we got to raise taxes, we got to do this, we got to do that. The problem is we've got to do a lot of things, but the most important thing, and you've heard it here before, ladies and gentlemen, we got to grow this country. We got to stimulate growth. You talked about an uptick in the savings rate.
Yep.
And people are saving money because they're afraid to spend. They're laying money up for a rainy day.
Yeah, we had an announcement on Tuesday that personal income increased 0.5% in December. Virtually none of that is being spent. It's almost all being saved, which is, I mean, that's a plus because I can remember complaining about a zero savings rate at some point in time. So, you know, I'm glad consumers are saving. I think also part of that is because they can't get bumps on their credit limits, which we just talked about. So I think that, you know, they all kind of work together.
Some of it is almost like forced.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're paying the debt off.
Yeah.
Well, so the bottom line is we got to get America working again. That sounds like a great political statement, right?
Yeah, working and growing.
Vote for me and I'll get America working again.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is we've got to grow our way out. And I did, you know, we've talked about this. And so I was kind of excited to be able to share this with you on the show today. I broke these darn labor statistics down. You've heard me say I'm tired of talking about percentages. I don't want to hear about these percentages of unemployment's this, but it's really that, and you adjust for this, and it's really this percentage. Ah, let's get out of there. Okay, so here are the numbers that are real numbers. I looked at right from the Bureau of Labor Statistics from the Department of Labor, and here are the real numbers. And some of this is quite interesting. The bottom line is that we have 13 million people that are unemployed who want a job, okay? And that's the key. Here's how the numbers break down. We've got a civilian, non-institutional population, so I guess that's basically just us regular folks, okay, of 240 million people. Now, out of that, only two-thirds of them want a job. So 64% participation rate that we've talked about.
Right.
So that includes people that maybe you've got a stay-at-home mom. She's got a job, but for these statistics, she doesn't count in that number. So the total civilian labor force, the folks that want a job, 154 million. 141 million have a job. 13 million don't. So what we're going to do as we go along here, we're going to look at those numbers every month, and thankfully, the Labor Department puts that number out.
We get that number Friday.
Outstanding. I can't wait to add it to my spreadsheet, Scott. You know, I love spreadsheets.
Yeah.
So far, the change numbers, here's what's interesting, and this is part of the challenge we have and why we've got to grow our way out of the fix we're in. The total civilian non-institutional population, that number went up by almost 2 million people, okay, for the year. That means that the labor force grew, the potential labor force grew by over 637,000 people. So we had 1.5 million new jobs, but 637,000 of those new jobs were taken by people that were completely new.
Yeah, so that's slow job growth.
Okay. And yes, right. That took, so there's 1.5 million, 600 some odd thousand went to people who were new to the workforce, and then 800,000 went to people who were out of work and wanted a job, who were already in the workforce. So that's what makes it difficult. So the problem is it's going to take, I did my math, at this rate of chipping away at the unemployment, if you're going to knock 800,000 off of the unemployment number
in a year
for 13 million people, it's going to take you 16 years.
Yeah, that's no good.
That's not going to work.
We need probably about four times that.
So we need jobs. We need jobs. We need jobs.
Yep.
So how are we going to get them?
Well, we can loosen up credit standards, which we already talked about.
So we got to get some, ask the banks to say, please lighten up.
Yeah, ease up on regulation from the government. Give employers a break on healthcare costs. Those are a good place to start,
okay.
I think.
Well, I think that's where we've got to focus. Down the road, eventually, once baby boomers all start, you know, every year a baby boomer, what we got? We've got 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day.
Yeah.
We need them to, but some of them are saying, yeah, maybe I don't retire. You know, we have people come in and meet with us here, Scott, as you know, and we meet with them and we talk to them about their retirement. And what do I tell them? Well, I tell them, hey, look, yeah, a couple extra years of working.
Yeah, it's not going to kill you.
It's not going to kill you, and it'll make your retirement that much better. Let's look at whether you can retire or not.
Yeah.
So there are folks like us telling people, don't retire just yet, all those baby boomers. And so, yeah, eventually the baby boomers have affected every segment of the economy as they've gone through it. Well, they are affecting the job market, obviously. So eventually, as they start to more and more of them retire, then, okay, there'll be more jobs available. And we talked about this earlier, right before we started the show, that, you know, when you have more and more baby boomers who are coming out of the mix, that means there they're not taking the jobs that are being created. You know, if you have a million people come out of the workforce because they're retiring, well, then if you've got 1.5 million jobs created, now you got 2.5 million jobs that can go toward knocking down that 13 million.
Right.
Obviously, that'd make a big difference.
Right.
But those baby boomers are not going to retire until they feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Well, there we are. And
there
we're
we
up, up against another quick break. We'll be right back.
With so many financial products and services available today, do you ever wonder what the best income strategy is for your situation? Call Holland Financial to receive a free educational DVD on retirement income strategies. Certified financial planner David Holland discusses some of the income planning strategies used by retirees and baby boomers. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526. The seven deadly sins of retirement planning are a reality, not a myth. Are you committing any of the sins? Are you wasting money on investments with high fees? Are you prepared for high inflation? The next stock market drop? Call Holland Financial to receive a free DVD on the seven deadly sins of retirement planning. Certified financial planner David Holland identifies some of the most common mistakes he has seen retirees make and how to avoid them. The DVD is available free of charge, hassle, or pressure by simply calling 888-747-PLAN. Again, that's 888-747-7526. Do you ever think about the effects inflation will have on your retirement savings? Can you remember when gas was just $1 per gallon? Or when you could buy a house for less than what most cars sell for these days? Is it possible to keep pace with inflation and protect a portion of your portfolio from stock market volatility? A registered investment advisor can show you your options. Certified financial planner David Holland and his team of fee-based investment advisors are ready to help. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That's 888-747-7526. Or visit us at www.davidholland.com.
This is your 2-minute warning.
Well, yes, it is. And let's get right to it. I talked on a previous show about some of the ways you can mess up your retirement. And, you know, this is going to be a recurring theme because I obviously have given you enough information that you know that I work a lot with retirees or people that are approaching retirement to plan their financial future. Well, I never got to a couple of things that I think are real important, especially in light of some of the recent discussions we've had with Scott back on the show and some of the other things going on in the market. One of the things that I keep seeing in the news and in some of the financial and investment journals is there's this underlying theme, somewhat subtle, sometimes not so, sometimes more blunt, that if you wimp out, if you take your money out of the market, if you choose not to put your money at risk, that you somehow are weak or that you are, just don't have the right kind of will or determination that you should have. And I think that's silly. I see it. I read about it. I see people come in and meet with me who are stressed because they have been told that they need to take a certain amount of risk or that, you know, they have to do it this way. And then, of course, when we see the market drop like we did in 2008 or 2000, 2001, 2002, people are just distraught. And my message to you is you've got to do what's comfortable and makes sense. I can give you a financial plan that makes perfect sense, but if you're not comfortable with it, it's not going to do anybody any good. So you've got to have both. Now, you could also do something that's comfortable, but it makes no financial sense. So what we've got to get is a proper balance. And that's really the heart of financial planning and working with an advisor is getting the balance of planning with an advisor's knowledge, their access to products and services to be your tour guide and to help you get what you need to get a plan in place so you can feel confident about your retirement and so you can sleep at night. That's what financial planning is about. And if you don't think or aren't comfortable taking lots of risk, guess what? Don't do it. Thanks for being with me. And I'll look forward to you joining me on another show. Thanks.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.